ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. So after having explained the nature of Atma, Lord Krishna now says, till now I gave you Samkhya Yoga. Now listen to Buddhi Yoga. Buddhi Yoga in the context is interpreted as Karma Yoga. What does Buddhi Yoga means? Buddhi means, like I said, discrimination, knowledge, awareness. So doing action with awareness is Buddhi Yoga. Samkhya philosophy says, knowledge is the only means for liberation. Knowledge is the only means for liberation. Which is true. Anything other than knowledge could become a means if you are not already Atma. You are Atma, but you do not know that you are Atma, and you are imagining yourself to be Sangeeta. Are you with me? So the problem is not that you are not Atma. The problem is that you don't know that you are Atma. To fight with darkness, if you bring in weapons and fight with it, you are not going to conquer it. But to conquer darkness, all you need to do is light a lamp. The moment you light a lamp, darkness vanishes. Isn't it? So to fight with ignorance, with action, you will be steeping yourself more into ignorance. So action cannot be a means for liberation. What is means for liberation is only knowledge. This is what Samkhya philosophy says. This is what Vedanta also says. Krishna also says the same thing.
Knowledge is means
for liberation. But
because my mind is
Thank you very much. So when the problem is ignorance, the solution is only knowledge. But when we say knowledge, we mean awareness, not information. You are told, you are not Avantika, you are Atma, you are informed now, what has happened? You are told you are not Lakshmi Narayan, you are Atma, what has happened? Nothing has happened. Information is not what we mean by knowledge. We need awareness. When you light a lamp, you need a wick. But the wick doesn't catch that fire, or even if it catches it quickly, goes away. So what do? You soak it in oil so that it stands and burns. Are you with me? So action prepares you to gain the knowledge. What gives you liberation is only knowledge. There is no dispute on that. But action prepares you to gain that knowledge. So we say, if you go on gaining information from books and texts, you could have studied Brahma Sutra, Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita, everything. No big deal. You can become a pandit. But awareness has to happen side by side. So Karma Yoga or Buddhi Yoga is saying that in Brahmacharya Ashrama and student life, you have gained the information. But for the information to get transformed, the mind needs to be prepared, and it can be prepared only through going through the laboratory of Grahastha Ashrama, the Karma Yoga predominant ashrama. Sannyasa is a jnana yoga predominant ashrama. Are you with me? Karma yoga is, grihastha ashrama is karma yoga predominant. Doesn't mean jnana yoga is not there. But predominantly karma yoga. Sannyasa is predominantly jnana. Are you with me? So by buddhi yoga, what he means is action with awareness. So when your action is backed by discrimination, a purpose, a goal, a direction is given, then the thoughts become resolute. And he says, in this there is no loss, no contrary result. There is no insecurity. Like I discussed with you in the morning, when you are working for a higher cause, there is no insecurity. When you are working for yourself, then there is insecurity. When there is otherness, there is insecurity. When there is oneness, there is no insecurity. When you go to some other country and you have that sense of otherness, you have fear, insecurity. When you come back to India, when the flight lands and you come into the immigration area, you understand? Suddenly, oneness. So when you work for a higher goal, there is no contrary result. Because your mind is not obsessed, the result also comes because you are acting without obsession and you are also rising above vasanas and you also don't have fear. So karma yoga is nothing but buddhi yoga. Action with awareness. Action with awareness liberates you. Action done in a non-awaring state binds you. I give you a thread ball. As I am talking to you, as you are listening to me, you are playing with a thread. After about half an hour, you suddenly see you made so many knots. Are you with me? Now you want to remove it. Remove the knots. Untie the knots. How do you do that? Can you do that as you are talking to me?
No.
As you are listening to me? When you become focused and conscious, slowly you will be able to untie the knots. Undo the knots. Are you with me? To get entangled, you need to be in an unconscious state. To liberate, you need to be in a conscious state. So how have we created karma for us? By unconscious involvement. Unconscious involvement means mind is running after the fruit, the result, the contact with the object. And I am running. I am not directing myself to the contact. I am running after the contact. Or I am running away from the contact. So running after and running away creates karmic cycle. But when you go through it consciously, you untie the knots. So karma yoga helps you in liberating. Karma binds you. Vedanta is the end portion of Vedas. Vedas have four parts: Mantra, Brahmana, Aranyaka, Upanishad. Mantra, Brahmana, Aranyaka put together is called as Veda Purvam. Upanishads are called as Veda Ant, Ant Bhag of Veda. The beginning Bhag of Veda, Mantra, Brahmana, Aranyaka. The Ant Bhag of Veda, Upanishads. What is the beginning bhag of Veda talking about? how to fulfill your desires. Mantra Bhag is talking about the sound vibrations that help in repositioning the energy cycle in you, so that you can attract the desired results through these certain rituals, which is explained in Brahmana Bhag and Aranyaka Bhag. Are you with me? So Veda Purvam is basically talking about fulfilling desires. So you have various mantras and rituals to get the object of your desire. There is a certain science that you purify yourself, chant these mantras, do these rituals, you attract the object. See, all of us should understand that energy and matter are transferable. Energy becomes matter and matter becomes energy. We know this, no? Our body, the matter, is nothing but what? Full of atoms, right? Atoms' movement is nothing but energy and vibration. Inside there is energy movement. It looks like matter outside. If the energy pattern can be changed, then we'll be vibrating differently. When you vibrate negatively, you attract negative things to you. When you vibrate positively, you attract positive things to you. So the mantras and rituals make you to vibrate in a certain frequency, because of which certain results are attracted to you. If you spoke about, you talking here could be heard at the same time by somebody who is sitting in America, people would have laughed and said, "What nonsense are you talking about?" But today it is an obvious science. You grew up seeing your parents talking on the phone. In fact, now your children grow up you talking on the cell phone anywhere in the world, wherever you are. Now they don't even doubt how this is happening. They don't even question. So when they don't even question what happens, over a period of time the science will be lost. It will be taken for granted. And this is what has happened with Vedas also. Are you with me? You don't know. Do you know how the whole thing really gets connected? But you know, it's possible. You just take it. Are you with me? So similarly, Veda Purvam is full of this. But Veda Purvam talks about fulfillment of desires. Veda Ant, when you go to the end part of Vedas, it talks about how you can liberate yourself, go beyond desires and become one with your Atma. So therefore he says in 42, 43, 44, he says, don't get caught by the flowery speech of Vedas. In 45 he says, Vedas are also talking about Traigunya Vishaya. Mind is nothing but sattva, rajas and tamas. Vedas are full of traigunya vishaya. Nistraigunyo bhava arjuna. Go beyond gunas, become atma. Don't get stuck by Veda Purvam. Veda Purvam ko use karke Vedanta ko pahunchna chahiye. Fulfilling your desires, you should not stay put there. You should rise above and experience atma within. Experiential knowledge is important. Don't get stuck by Veda Purvam. But if you see, today what has happened, many of us are just happy, if I do my puja, if I did my rituals, that's fine. So they are all stuck at the Veda Purvam level. They are very happy if you say prayer and eat your lunch. Whether you crossed beyond it and had experienced it within, so everybody is stuck at the Veda Purvam level. Are you with me? So one has to go beyond the Vedas, the Karma Kanda, and experience Vedanta, the self within. So therefore he says, just like how the pond is of no relevance when the village is flooded by water, when the village is flooded by water, does anyone look for a pond there? So the happiness that comes from Veda Purvam is also included in the happiness that you get when you experience Atma. Finite is included in the infinite. So you must cross that and go to the Atma within. He is not saying Veda Purvam is irrelevant. But Veda Purvam should not become your stagnation. It should not become an end in itself. It should be a means to an end. So go to Vedanta, do actions consciously. Now what is that? Karmani eva adhikaraha ma faleshu kadachan. Ma karma falahetur boho ma te sangostra karmani. 47th verse of chapter 2. I usually don't say memorize, but I say this here. Karmani eva adhikaraha. You have a right only with reference to action. Ma karma phala hetur boho ma te sangostva karmani. You do not have right over the fruit. Ma phaleshu kadacham. Why does he say that? At any given moment, what you have is only that given moment. At any given moment, what you have is only that given moment, present. Past is
dead.
Future is unborn. What you have in hand is only the present moment. So every minute what you have is only the action, because result belongs to the future. And secondly, when you live in this world, you are not the only one who is living. You are throwing the action, that is all is in your hand. Like if you are running a transportation business, sending goods to other countries through ship and all that, you make sure that the weather is good and all that, you take the help of all the departments, and then you send the goods. But suddenly there is some storm. Was that in your hand? So in other words, your action is only one aspect, but there are so many other factors over which you have no control. And even what you did, once it is done, you lost your control over it. Till you pushed it, you had control over it. Once you have pushed it, you have no control over it. Is that clear? Because once you have said something, or did, once you have done something, it mixes with the other things in the cosmos. Then the result will pan out accordingly. So he says, if you understand this, then you will develop the manobhav, the attitude to accept whatever result. That doesn't mean you don't do it with a certain result in mind, but you are not attached to that particular result. You go to write the exam. You write the exam to the best of your ability. That fellow who the paper went to, he had a fight with his wife that day. So he was very agitated while correcting your paper. Everywhere he put half mark less, one mark less, like that. And today in this world in India, even half a mark matters a lot. Like one college, they said 100% cut off or something like that. Madness going on, you understand? So half a... Now, that professor, that teacher fighting with his wife has got anything to do with you? Are you with me? When you write the exam, obviously you write the exam of keeping that 100% or 99% or 98% in mind. Action will have result. You will also have the result in mind when you do. But you develop the manobhav to also accept whatever might be the result. As expected, as not expected. You still take it as prasad. This is what is called as karma yoga. So karma yoga is doing the action with awareness and with dedicated bhav. I do it with dedication and I accept it as prasad. So Ishvara arpana buddhi and prasad buddhi, when they mix with action, it's called as karma yoga. Therefore it's called as buddhi yoga. Samajhgaya? I am born in this world, and from the time I am born, I have been taking. So when I become mature, I have understood that I should be repaying. Like Prophet Muhammad says, he is best amongst us who is best in repaying. Can I really repay to my mother? Can I really repay to the nature's bounty? So it should be in the attitude. How do I repay to the divinity, to the unknown providence? Divinity is spread everywhere. So by serving the Nara, not only Nara, the entire human, entire beings, I serve Narayana. So Ishvara Arpana means I dedicate it for the welfare of the world, Loka Sangraha, whatever talent I have. Instead of going to work as to what I will get from what salary I am getting, I'll say, okay, I've got this talent. Let me use it, do it for the best of my clients, my patients, whatever. Students, you know. So that is Ishvara Arpana Buddhi. And Prasada Buddhi. Learning to accept. So when you do an action with awareness, dedication and acceptance, it is Karma Yoga, it is Buddhi Yoga. When you do that, you are doing it consciously. So what happens? You are fulfilling the result, because action is the cause, success is the effect. And you have not been thinking about the result so much that the thought has not been strengthened there, vasana also doesn't develop. So you are fulfilling the desires but also reducing the vasanas, which means you are moving closer and closer to the Atma. So this is what the blueprint of right action talks about, acting without attachment to fruit. So then he says, in 48 and 50, which are very important verses equally. In 48 he talks about samatvam yogam uchyate. Balance of mind is yoga. In 50 he says, yoga karmasu kaushalam. Skill in action is yoga. So he is saying two things. What is he saying? He is saying, your body should engage in action while the mind is at rest. In our case, it's the other way around. Body is inactive, mind is thinking about the world. Ghar mein baithke, you are thinking about how nice it will be. You understand? By constant thinking, you are developing vasanas. So he says, act physically, but mind should be at rest. Skill in action is yoga. Skill in action is yoga does not mean a thief who steals very skillfully is in yoga. Skill in action simply means you do the action in such a way that the action doesn't create impressions. It rather drops the impressions. It rather drops the vasanas. That is skill in action is yoga. So when you do that, you cross beyond the delusion and you find the self. The intellect will cross the delusion, mire of delusion, and you will go to the experience within. What he is saying there is, he is saying that today you are deluded that the happiness is outside. But when you realize that actually happiness is within you and not without, you might have experienced only few things. You might not have experienced everything. Only few things. But even though you experience only few things, the new promises are not going to increase your happiness. You understand that. So what do? You rise above and then you cross the boundary and you go to the self. With that, Buddha Yoga comes to an end. Then the next is Sankhya Yoga. So we'll take it up some other time? Because Sankhya Yoga is also very important. You know what, I'll tell you, I'm going to do this kind of a retreat again in Unilaji's house for the other group. So whoever wants to join, you can join. I will be doing this again. I don't know, we have not decided, I'll let you know. She's coming day after tomorrow, 25th. Then we'll tell you.
So identically to what we did today? That
something like that I'm planning for them.
First two chapters.
Mm-hmm. And Siddha Prajna obviously will be part of it. We can do Siddha Prajna some other time there also.
We can do in our regular.
We'll just end with the prayer.
Yes.
Huh?
Yeah.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
Thank you so much.